Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Dushman Carbogen Answers Limited Q4 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Arpit Vyas, Managing Director, Dushman Carbogen Answers. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, moderator. Good morning, everyone. It is a pleasure to have you all for our yearly conference call. It has been an exciting five-year journey, but in that journey, there was a tremendous effort from the people, and tremendous hard work was put in through all the challenging times of COVID and also the war and the global uncertainty that still exists today. Through all this difficult period, we were unfortunate enough to, as you all know, get the observations from the European authorities, which made it challenging for us to do any business in Europe. For that, we took up the challenge of resolving the entire issues highlighted by the ADQM from ground level up. And one after the other, everything was resolved. It took time, but it got resolved, and finally, we were able to pass the ADQM with flying colors. We got no more than five minor recommendations. They were not even observations, which we had justified already, and we have already received the certificate as on January this year. Subsequently, unexpectedly, what happened was U.S. FDA also decided to audit the plant, and they decided to come in March itself while we were gearing up for production and manufacturing. And that slowed down again our ability to manufacture in full force because we had to start again preparing for the U.S. FDA audit, and we had not more than 2 weeks for doing so. Nevertheless, the team was tremendous. Great efforts were put in, and again, U.S. FDA was also passed with flying colors. So now, in today's world, where many companies, one after the other, are getting import alerts and import bans, we have come out victorious and like a rising star with the approvals being done. With the approvals, with having the approvals in that during such a period. The customers, whomever we meet, are not just happy, but they are extremely calm because they were also very anxious for all the companies in India getting such import alerts, especially at the time when the business was shifting from China to India. And with the import alerts, the customers were very worried that what may happen for the drug prices if a lot of companies in India get this ban, which is happening right now, and the drug prices are increasing, unfortunately. But in that, they were very, very happy, and for that reason, we are also getting tremendous amounts of inquiries for new projects. And the future is nothing but bright, is all I can say. And I would like to thank all of you for your support through all the tough times that we have faced in the past 5 years. We know it would not have been easy keeping faith, and it would have been an extreme relentless belief in the company for one to be remain invested throughout the 5-year period. Nevertheless, we are finally out of it, and we are going to put all our energy and effort now to make sure that the sky is going to be the limit. Again, I would like to thank all of you for your trust and support. And with that, I would like to pass the call on to my dear colleague, Pascal Villemagne.
Thank you very much, Arpit, for your work. And good afternoon, dear shareholders. Very happy to be here today to give you a bit of comments on the performance of the Carbogen Active Branch. So we ended the last quarter of the year with a tremendous performance from a turnover perspective, because for the first time, the Carbogen Active Group was able to generate more than a quarter of a billion Swiss franc. So that's the first time in our history we achieved such a level, so we were quite happy with that. Of course, it represents a lot of work, as Arpit just said, all the teams very motivated to satisfy a large number of customers and a large number of patients in the world. However, we had a bit more ambition last year, and we wanted to achieve even more, and due to a few challenges in operations that are now resolved, we are facing some shifting of the revenue in the late month of the last quarter. So as a consequence, we are not able to reach the very ambitious budget we have had, and as a consequence, we achieve a slightly lower EBITDA than we used to have. But as I mentioned, all the problems have been fixed, and we can now operate normally, especially for our new drug product facility in France. So that's the good news. I'd like to emphasize that it's absolutely not a market issue. The market is doing still okay, probably a bit more difficult than the last few years, where there was a lot of investment through the pharma industry. Here, the especially on the biotech, small biotech side, it's especially in Europe, it's a little bit more difficult to raise money because of what Arthur said about the general geopolitical situation. Some of our small biotech customers are facing a bit of challenge to move their project forward or to start a new project. But as a perspective for this year, 24-25, we are very, very optimistic, because we already have a large number of the POs that covering the vast majority of our budget already in hand, and also a very good perspective from the major customer that we have. So we are very, very optimistic and actually excited by the numbers of customer visits we have, and also new POs that we are getting for the end of this year and for the following year. On top of that, I mentioned several times over the last call that we also do a digital transformation that is coming to an end of the third phase. So we have started to implement a number of digital tools that are going to enable us to be more productive. And as a major stone into this project, we are going to implement and go live with SAP this year. So very happy that we come to an end to this first phase, and really looking forward for all the efficiencies that all those new tools we bring in the future. I thank you very much for you all for listening, and I hand over the call to Mr. Rachid Dalal, our global CFO.
Thank you, Pascal, for the business update. I think for the benefit of all, it would be better if Paolo, you can also give the business update for India, and then we can get into the financial discussion. So, Paolo, I'll hand over the call to you, if you can give the business update for India first.
Yeah, thank you, Rachid, and good afternoon, everyone. As mentioned by our Global Managing Director, we are related to inform that we had a disinspection in the last 2 months, which was planned for 5 days, but was ended up with only four days. Just a few weeks ago, we received the established inspection report, and so we can say that in just a bit more than 6 months, Michelin Carbogen has very successfully complied to PMDA Japan and the QM IFA Italy and the US FDA. And currently, all the certifications are received and are available with us. Of course, needless to say that we are really proud of the teams which were able to achieve this. And we see for sure now a new phase opening as far as the business Bavla Naroda. We are seeing a great enthusiasm in all the customers who are very keen to restart business with us after achieving all the major compliance worldwide. We are also witnessing a great interest towards us from many new customers. These customers are basically from any geographical area. As far as grant business, which is considered by us instrumental, we strengthened substantially the link with Carbogen Ansys, and we are now having a consolidated strategy to receive a new technical proposal. After so long time working in compliance, to start moving towards techno business level is extremely exciting, and for sure is the future of the organization. As far as the pipeline and the new project, we are also strengthening our sales team and deploying major resources to cover all the world geographical areas. Also, this today is considered as an instrumental for this phase of the organization. At CAPEX level, we are completing some of the major CAPEX, both at Bavla and Naroda site. But of course, we are also not stopping general upgrades of both the factory. Many upgrades are currently ongoing, especially at the Naroda site. So to conclude, I would like just to highlight that after a long phase dedicated especially to the GP compliance, now the organization is ready to step to the next level from a business standpoint. And having said that, I hand over back the call to our global CFO, Ashley.
Thank you very much, Paolo, for that update. Hello, everybody. A very good afternoon to all. I would like to brief you on the financial performance for the quarter ended March 31, 2024, and also for the full financial year. So as you would have already seen the presentation that we had uploaded, there were a lot of one-offs in the last quarter as well as for the full financial year, which we will go through in detail later on. As far as the revenue for the quarter is concerned, there was a growth of 6%. So from 618 crores for the Q4 of FY23, we moved to 654 crores for Q4 FY24. The EBITDA, as adjusted for all of the one-offs, last year, Q4 FY23, it stood at 83 crores. As compared to that, we were closer to 100 crores for the Q4 of financial year 24. As far as the cash generated from the operations is concerned, we generated close to about 400 crores for the full financial year. And for the quarter, after the one-offs, it was around 75 crores. As far as the revenue for the full year is concerned, we closed the year with 2,616 crores of revenue, which is a growth of 8.5% over the previous financial year, where we closed with a revenue of 2,413 crores. The EBITDA stood at about 409 crores for the full financial year 24 after adjusting for the one-off, which stood at about 414 crores in financial year 23. The cash profit stood at 303 crores as compared to 326 crores in the previous financial year. Taking a look at the segment-wise performance of the revenue, Carbogen Amsys Grams did a revenue of 449 crores for the fourth quarter of financial year 24. This was, and this also includes the revenue generated from our new facility in France. So even though we did not achieve the expected revenue out of France because of various factors that we will discuss, still there was a growth in the CRAMS revenue at Carbogen Amsys as compared to Q4 of financial year 23 by about 3%. And for the full financial year, there was a growth of 15%. Where we ended the year with 1,953 crores as compared to 1,700 crores in financial year 23. The cholesterol and vitamin D analogs business for the quarter did a revenue of 91 crores, which is a growth of more than 50% as compared to Q4 of financial year 23, where we did a revenue of about 60 crores. And most of this growth is contributed by the vitamin D analogs subsegment within the vitamin within the Carbogen Amsys BV business, where we saw quite a significant amount of growth in Q4 of FY24. On a yearly basis, the revenue increased by about 23% for the cholesterol and vitamin D analogs business, where we closed the year with 332 crores as compared to 270 crores in financial year 23. As far as the India business is concerned, we already started seeing a growth in the CRAMS revenue from Q4 of FY24, where the growth was at 16% as compared to comparable quarter in financial year 23. So we did 85 crores of revenue as compared to 73 crores in Q4 of FY23. For the full financial year, we did a revenue of 215 crores as compared to 245 crores in FY23, which is a degrowth of about 12%. But as now we have all the necessary regulatory approvals, especially from the EDQM and Europe being a major market for the India business, we do expect the India CRAMS revenue to increase substantially from here on. The India Quartz and Generics business, which is largely done out of our Naroda facility, did a revenue of about 29 crores in the quarter as compared to 49 crores in the comparable quarter of last year. This degrowth is largely attributable, and it's the same reason for the full year where there was again a degrowth. This is largely on account of a slowdown that was being experienced in the, especially in the agrochemical industry. And also FY23 was more of an exceptional year where we saw a lot of orders being serviced in that year, which was like a deferment of the orders from FY22. So overall, on a consolidated basis, as I mentioned earlier, there was a growth of about 8.5% for the full financial year as far as the revenues are concerned. And for the quarter, that stood at roughly around 6%. As far as the segment-wise margins are concerned, on a quarterly basis, the Carbogen Amsys Grams business segment did an EBITDA margin of about 15.5%. After adjusting for the one-off, which was at 16% in Q4 of FY23. For the full financial year, this translated into 17.7% as compared to 20% in FY23. The cholesterol and vitamin D analogs business did a margin of about 25% in Q4 24 as compared to 13% in Q4 FY23, largely because of the increase in revenue of the vitamin D analogs. For the full financial year, this stood at 17.8% as compared to 17% in FY23. The India CRAMS, that's the APIs and intermediates business is concerned, did an EBITDA of about 5.2% as compared to roughly 2% in Q4 of FY23. And the quartz and generics business did an EBITDA of about 7.2% as compared to 7.4% in Q4 of FY23. So overall, the quarter, from a quarterly perspective and the year perspective, it was a good year for us in terms of revenue as well as operating profit at all the entities, but the performance as reported looked quite subdued, largely on account of the delay in the operations in our French entity. And as Pascal also mentioned, most of those issues, which were largely related to the machine failure, have already been resolved now. Those are all technical issues. There is no issue on the market side, on the demand side of the products, and we do look forward to the French entity being a significant contributor to the overall consolidated performance from here on, both in terms of revenue as well as profitability. As on 31st of March, we already have confirmed orders of about 9.5 million euros for the French entity, and another 7 million euros of orders are highly expected from the request for proposals, which have been sent for about 90 million euros. Just to give a little bit more highlight on the French performance for the quarter, it reported a negative EBITDA of about 47 crores, and for the full financial year, this was reported at about 97 crores of negative EBITDA. So if you adjust for this, for the quarter as well as for the full financial year, in addition to some of the other one-offs which have been highlighted in the presentation, the EBITDA for the year stands at about 408 crores. The other adjustments, one is the SARS IT project cost, which is expensed out in the P&L because of an IFRIC interpretation. So that amounted to about 9 crores. There was a one-time adjustment because of inflation in the remuneration in the employee cost, which amounted to about 31 crores. There was a one-time maintenance and refurbishment expenditure which had to be incurred at all of our locations, which was of a one-off nature and not routine maintenance, that amounted to about 22 crores. We also provided for a soil reclamation in our Carbogen Ansys BV facility, and that provision stood at about 4 crores, and there was a notional forex impact of around 10 crores for the full financial year. Talking about the forex impact, even just on account of translation, especially on the major item on our P&L, which is the employee cost, there was a negative impact of almost 100 crores, which is not reflected as a foreign exchange fluctuation difference, but it's embedded into the employee cost, which is reported for the full financial numbers. The net debt, as on 31st of March 24, stood at about 163 million Swiss francs, which at the beginning of the year stood at about 159 million. So there was an increase by about 4 million as far as the net debt is concerned. The capital expenditure for the full financial year stood at about 31 million Swiss francs, so which is more or less in line with the guidance that we had mentioned. So this was a brief update on the financial performance for the year and for the quarter. And with this, moderator, you can open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Ankit Minocha from MRLR Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, so good afternoon. Having a look at your investor presentation, I mean, if I look at FY22, if I look at FY23 or FY24, the one-off items and the exceptional items in the EBITDA have always kind of contributed a high number, which ends up changing the EBITDA margin significantly. So my first question would be to understand what is your understanding with regard to these one-off items moving forward for the next financial year? And secondly, in that case, could you help us with what would be the final EBITDA margin for FY25, considering that we might also have some one-offs in FY25? So we want to understand the final EBITDA margin number, including all of these one-offs as well. That's the first question.
Sure. Thank you for the question. So yes, you're right. You know, one of the major factors, you know, which impact the numbers on a consolidated basis as reported, one of the major impact is on account of the foreign exchange fluctuation, just on account of the translation of the numbers from various currencies into INR. So just to give you an example, you know, regarding the employee cost, if you see the Swiss P&L, the P&L for our Swiss entity, the major cost is the employee cost, which is all reported paid in Swiss franc. However, when it's consolidated into the numbers for reporting purposes in India, all of that has to be reported at the average exchange rate of the Swiss franc to the INR. And that is just one of the examples where we have seen an impact of almost 100 crores for the full financial year. So yes, I mean, to a certain extent, you know, we do hedge our you know, our receivables, our cash flows that will be coming from our customers. But on the cost side, and the net position is what we hedge. But on the cost side, just on account of translation, you know, that will always have an impact when the reported numbers are given out. And it could be on either side. You know, if the exchange rate moves in our favor, you know, the cost could even be lower. Now, the argument to that could be that on the revenue side as well, you know, there could be a benefit. But if you see most of our revenues, they are in US dollars. So if you have observed the US dollar to INR conversion, the exchange rates have more or less remained stable over the last 12 months. So there is not that much of an impact just on account of the translation of the revenues in different currencies into INR. But on the cost side, we have seen a major impact. The other one-off, if you see, you know, like if you just consider the current year, the French operations, we were expecting that in Q4, there would at least be a break even at the French operations considering the revenues and the cost for that particular quarter. However, because of this unexpected issue, because of which we were not able to generate that much amount of revenue because of the failure of the trial batches, you know, that was an exceptional cost that we had to incur, and all of that is booked through the P&L. One of the lines in France is already ready for operations in from November of 23. So it is no longer possible to capitalize any of these expenses to that particular line, to that manufacturing line. Hence, all the expenses are debited to the P&L, which is more of an exceptional thing because, you know, we have yet not been able to generate the revenues from that particular line, which now with the resolution having been achieved, we should be able to generate that. In the last 3-4 years, you know, we had these issues in India because of the EDQM observations that we had received. And there was a substantial amount of cost which was also incurred for EDQM. Part of it was passed through the P&L, which now going forward we do not expect to incur. So as far as financial year 25 is concerned, barring any kind of impact because of the translation, because that is something which obviously we would not be able to know. We believe that 20% kind of EBITDA margin is what we are looking forward to at a consolidated level. So that is something which is our target, because when we make our targets on a consolidated basis, we would have a budgeted number for the revenue, for the EBITDA, and that takes into account the same exchange rates as we have right now. So that is something that we expect. On the positive side, as far as our Dutch entity is concerned, in the last call, we did mention about the increase in the raw material cost in Netherlands because of the increase in the wool grease prices, which is the major raw material for that particular business. So over there, in the current financial year, we are expecting that the prices should come down, and that should have a major impact, positive impact on the margins in Netherlands for the full financial year. So yes, those costs were kind of normal costs in the past, though we would like to want those costs to be reduced even further. So again, coming back to your question, on a normalized basis, a 19-20% kind of EBITDA margin is what we'll aim for financial year 25.
Okay, thanks. And there was also, so this is not adjusted EBITDA, this is actual EBITDA margin that we're talking about, right?
Yeah, this is the actual, because right now we are not considering any kind of one-offs to happen in the next financial year.
Right, and in terms of PAT, would you have some indication as well?
Sorry, in terms of, you said taxation?
Net profit. Net profit.
So on a net profit basis, I don't have the estimated figure right now in front of me, but as far as the interest cost is concerned, barring any kind of forex fluctuations, we believe that the interest cost should, in the worst case scenario, remain at the present level, but we are already working on different initiatives in order to reduce the interest cost, which would be taking the borrowing in Swiss francs, which would be, or swapping some of our loans into Swiss francs from euros, which will help us to reduce the interest cost at a consolidated level. Plus, as far as the depreciation and amortization is concerned, the depreciation right now already takes into account the additional depreciation because of the operationalization of the line in France. So we don't see an additional impact because of increased depreciation coming out of France, unless and until we also start line two. Later in the later part of the year, where the depreciation charge for part of the year might increase. The tax rate for us would more or less remain at the same level, so roughly around 20-25% has been our historical tax rate, and more or less it would remain at that level. So those are the items below the EBITDA. One of the things, which we write off as part of the depreciation and amortization is the goodwill, which is sitting on the balance sheet at a India standalone level. And that is something that will continue. So that is to the tune of about 45 crores per annum.
Right. Thank you. That's a lot more clarity. My second question is with regard to, you meant there were some notes with regard to the breach of debenture covenants. So could you please give some more, add some more color to what exactly happened and what is the future situation?
Sure. Yeah, no problem. So basically, for one of the loans that we have taken at Carbogen Ansys holding level, there are certain covenants, which the banks will specify for the loan agreement. And there was a breach in the covenants as on 31st of March. So we have already received the proposal and the in-principle okay from the bank as far as giving us a covenant holiday for the next 12 months. There are certain other terms and conditions which we are discussing with the bank. So we should get the final waiver letter from the bank in the next days, I would say.
Right. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue. Thanks.
Sure. Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Karan Agarwal from Old Bridge Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, just a couple of questions. One on these covenants, Harshal, if you could explain what are these covenants that have been breached, how critical are they, why were they breached? Number two, if I go through the investor presentation on page 12, right, you've listed down, and this is further to the question that the earlier participant posed, you've listed down some one-time expenses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing is that how one-time are they in the truest sense? Because we keep seeing them recurring for an exceedingly long period of time. And just to bring to your attention, the Forex loss there seems to be about 9.69 crores. But in Q3, you all did incur a 76 crore Forex loss, which is shown as a separate notes to account. So, just wanted to get your sense.
Sure. So, answering your first question, so, as far as the covenants with the banks were concerned, so we have, so there are two covenants which are specified. One is the net leverage ratio, and second is an economic equity ratio. So, what the banks have specified is the 4 times of net leverage ratio, while as of 31st of March, at the Carbo, and this is just at the Carbo and Emphasis holding level, the net leverage ratio stood at about 4.8 times. And as far as the economic equity ratio is concerned, the specification is 40%, and we were at about 33%. So we had already given, the banks had already given us a proposal for the waiver of this covenant. And, we are trying to, they have specifically mentioned about the 12-month holiday till June 25 for testing of any of the covenants. And we have given them a counter proposal, where the holiday is okay, but there are also certain other terms and conditions in the existing agreement, which we would want to be better than what they are stipulated right now. So that is a negotiation which is ongoing with the bank. And we do expect that we should get a waiver letter in the next 2 days. So that's on the covenant part. Do you have any further questions on that one before?
Yes. I mean, what percentage of your overall debt is sitting out of that entity?
So out of that entity, that would be on a net debt basis, that would be close to about 100 million.
Okay. So 100 million Swiss francs.
That's correct.
Okay. Okay, and when you say net leverage, my sense is it's net debt to EBITDA, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
And the second ratio which you referred to, how do you define that ratio?
So that's basically, largely speaking, the debt to equity.
Debt to equity. Okay, sure. Yes.
So essentially it says that the debt needs to be like, as far as the covenant was concerned, it needed to be like 60% of the total assets and equity at 40%, which for us is at 67.33.
Okay.
Yeah. And the reason for, this breach is because, they would just take the reported numbers and if you add back the negative EBITDA of France, then we are actually not breaching any of these covenants. So, that is already understood by the bank, and there's a couple of points where we are discussing with the bank, and we should get...
So, France gets consolidated into that entity, is it?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So coming to your second question, as far as the one-offs are concerned, one of the major part, as I discussed earlier, is the EBITDA loss due to the French facility, which the EBITDA impact, while for the full year the negative EBITDA is about 96 crores, but about 46 crores of that is kind of a one-off, which would not have been, which does not need to be incurred in the future. So this is all costs related to resolving the malfunctioning of the machine, as well as the incremental costs that we had to incur because of the trial batch failures, etc. So this is actually a one-off, which we, you know, as now the resolution to the issues have already been done, we don't expect this to be recurring in the future. The second one is related to the IT costs. So in France, we implemented the V365, the Microsoft V365, and logically, you know, all of the license costs as well as the implementation costs should be allowed to be capitalized, and that's what most of the companies do. But as far as the IFRS is concerned, you know, where the reporting of the overseas entities happens, there was an IFRIC paper which came out which said that all of these costs have to be expensed out in the P&L. So while it's not as such related to the operations of the company, you know, all of those costs are being debited to the P&L, and that amount is roughly about 9.18 crores for the full financial year of 24. Now the implementation of this 365 has already been done in France. You know, there would be certain recurring costs which would have to be incurred every year, but it would not be to the tune of this 9.18 crores, which will have to be incurred every year. As far as the employee benefit expense is concerned, last year, you know, as you know, because of the Russia-Ukraine war, as well as the global interest rates increasing everywhere, there was a huge amount of impact on the inflation in all of the countries, is especially in Europe and in the US. So for us, since you know, most of our entities are based in Europe, we had to provide for a one-time employee remuneration correction due to this higher inflation, and that amounted to 31 crores. Now that the inflation rates are actually coming down, the central banks are actually looking to cut the interest rates. You know, there would not be an incremental inflation cost or the incremental salary correction that would have to be done in the current financial year and going forward. There was also a one-time refurbishment expenditure which had to be incurred at the overseas location, which was more in terms of refurbishment of the reactors as well as typings, etc. Which was like a sort of a major overhaul that we had to do in order to make sure that there were no issues as far as the production for the future is concerned. And that amounted to 22 crores. This is in addition to the normal maintenance expenditure which we would otherwise incur. The provision for the soil reclamation, this is specific to Netherlands to the tune of about 4 crores. And this is on account of changing the soil, which is or bringing the soil up to a quality level, you know, which is required for manufacturing the products in Netherlands. So, you know, over a period of time, there are there are a lot of solvents, a lot of other chemicals which get mixed with the soil. And since that was identified in the soil, we have already provided for that reclamation. The cost might be incurred over a period of time, but all of the provision was done in financial year 24. The forex loss of 9.69 crores, that is all notional in nature. To your point, the loss that we had booked in Q3 of financial year 24 of roughly around 76 crores. So that notional loss, you know, we have already realized the profit on that particular loss. So that is something, you know, which is not reported as a one-off, which was reported in Q3. So most of that 76 crores, so roughly about 65 crores of that notional loss has now been realized as a gain in the Q4 of financial year 24. So that is the reason, you know, that impact is not taken into the full year financial results. And only the balance of the 9.69 crores is the actual forex impact which is taken for the full financial year.
Got it. Just two things, right? One, Harshal, and to the management, conscious feedback. I mean, the number 46 crore for the French business and, you know, the 22 crore number as one-time maintenance expenditure on top of the 300 crores of capex that we've done in FY24, you know, I understand that one-time startups could result in, you know, some overruns. But the number here that we are calling out are quite sizable. So I would request you to be a little more conscious about it, please, going forward. That's just a sincere request. The second, you know, now that, you know, when I look at the business now, you know, Barla is clearly out of the woods, thankfully. And overall, my sense is all your capital outlay, maintenance, everything around your sites seem to be in order. And on top of that, what I read in the presentation is you all are looking at about 90 million euros of RFP in the French business. So when we put all of this together, is there reason to believe that whatever we've seen over the last four and a half years, and I mean, from FY25 onwards, things should look materially different for the business, both on P&L as well as cash flows?
Yes, Sarang, I would say so, and obviously our Arpit, Pascal and Paolo can also pitch in. But yeah, I mean, from FY25 onwards, we do expect that, you know, as you correctly mentioned, most of the CapEx cycle is almost over. The last thing that we are currently undertaking is the digital transformation across all of the locations. But apart from that, most of the larger CapEx programs are already completed. So apart from the routine maintenance CapEx and one water purification plant that we are setting up in Babla, you know, we don't see any major CapEx outlays that should happen from FY25 onwards. As far as the revenues are concerned, you know, as I had alluded earlier, all of the entities have been performing quite well in terms of the revenues. And with the French operation also now starting to contribute to the revenues right from financial year 25, we don't see a reason, you know, why we cannot grow in double digits as far as the revenues are concerned. As far as the EBITDA and the cash flow is concerned, you know, that should be growing at a much faster pace, largely because one, we don't expect the kind of EBITDA loss that we have seen in France to be incurred in the future. Plus, with the efforts that we are putting in terms of the cost controls, in terms of trying to see various alternatives in order to reduce the raw material costs, not just for Netherlands, you know, where the costs have increased substantially, but across the group, that should help us in reducing the operating expenses for the group as a whole. And as I also mentioned earlier, we are also working on the interest costs for the group. And as we start generating the free cash flow, one, it will help us in reducing the net debt on one side, and second, we are diligently working on reducing the interest rate for the group as a whole. So, you know, we don't see any reasons, you know, why the cash flow generation should not be healthier than what we have generated over the last years.
Okay, and if it's not been given already, what's the capex guidance for FY25?
So FY25, we expect that the capex should be somewhere between 25 to 30 million.
And I mean, historically, about $15 to $18 million is what you guide as maintenance capex. So my sense is that number continues, right?
Yeah. So roughly about $18 million would be more of the maintenance expenditure, and the rest would be to complete the digital transformation projects, as well as you know, as I mentioned, certain amount of capex that we need to do between Babla and Aurora in India. So close to about 25 million is what we expect should be incurred in FY25.
Okay, thank you. All the best.
Thank you, Amit.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, if you wish to join the question queue, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Kanav from Garg Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, am I audible?
Yes sir, you are. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so I have like few questions. First is on the balance sheet side. If I look on the consolidated assets, I see there is a 500 crore work in CWIP. Given that most of our capex is done, then why do we have like 500 crore to CWIP?
Sorry, you're talking about the capital work in progress?
Yeah.
So the capital, so if you see in the previous year, the capital work in progress was about 996 crores. As compared to that, you know, it has come down to about 500 crores. So this 500 crores largely includes some of the capex in France, which is yet to be capitalized. So as I mentioned earlier, the line one in France, we stopped. So we basically capitalized the line in November of 23. And then there is the second manufacturing line, which is yet not operational. And we expect that it will become operational during the course of the current financial year. So that would be capitalized when it is ready for use. So the major part of it is related to the second line in France. And apart from that, some of the capex that we have done in India as well as in the other entities, in the point at which it would go from the CWIP to the property, plant and equipment would be when that capex is ready for use. So you know, one of the expenditure, as I mentioned earlier, is also the digital transformation that we are undertaking at various locations. So most of that cost is capitalized right now. As and when we go live with the first phase going live in Switzerland in the current financial year, that will also then move out from the capital work in progress.
So is it fair to assume that this number will be around, let's say, by the end of September quarter when we'll publish the next balance sheet, this number should be closer to 150 crores. This should be a continuous CWIP because we do the maintenance capex also.
Yeah, I mean it should keep on reducing as you know we keep on operationalizing this asset. So yes, I mean whether it would be September or December, you know it's just a matter of time. But yes, over a period of time, we should see this number going down.
Okay. So next is like if you look at intangible assets and the development, it has gone substantially up by 100 crores, right? So like what happened? What caused that?
So that would just a second. I'll just take out the breakup. So that is largely on account of certain products, you know, which we have in the portfolio where we are developing on our own. So mainly related to the vitamin D product. So one part of that is because of that particular vitamin D development that we are doing. Apart from that, there are also certain intangibles on account of. But one of the reasons is also the forex impact on the intangible, and you know that is also true for all of the fixed assets, where all of these assets are stated at the closing exchange rate. So you know these two are the major impacts, but we can also discuss this offline once I have the breakup of the thing.
Sure. And so then when I look at the provisions on the equity and liability side, I think they have again gone up substantially, right, from 233 crores to 380 crores. A substantial jump in provisions. So like what happened there?
I'm sorry, but which line item are you looking at?
Provisions. If you look at provisions, they have jumped substantially from 233 crores to 380 crores, right? 379 crores.
Yeah. So the provisions, you know, one would be on account of the employee benefit expenses. So, you know, where on account of the additional recruitment which has been done, you know, there would be an increase in the provision for the employees. So that is number one. So the pension provision, which was at about 180 89 crores in as on 31st of March 23. So that has increased to about 333 crores. So this is on account of the change in assumptions. So as you remember, you know, last year, from last year to now, there has been a substantial movement in the interest rates. So because of that, you know, it impacts the provision that needs to be made for the pension. So that is the major impact, but there is no impact on account of, you know, there is no cash impact because of that. It is just a provision which needs to be restated at the end of every year.
And so similarly, if you look at non-current liabilities, that again went from 167 crores to 448 crores, right? Again, a substantial jump. So what happened here?
You're looking at the non-current liabilities.
Yeah.
167 to 448. So that is largely on account of the prepayments that we have received from our customers. So the prepayment, which was at about 138 crores in as on 31st of March 23, that increased to about 418 crores as on 31st of March 24. So that that is, you know, basically directly connected to our business, where for the development orders that we receive, we would be working with at least 30% upfront advance that we would be getting from our customers. So since the development orders have been increasing, and you know, we have also mentioned in the presentation that currently we are sitting on development orders in excess of 140 million. So that is on account of represents the prepayments that we receive on these orders.
Okay. So just a couple of questions on the business side. So I think one thing was on the CRAMS business, right? This is Carbogenomics. So in that business, the growth in YOY, if you look at from Q4 23 to Q4 24, I think it's just 2.9%, right? And in the last call, I remember you mentioned that from the new Swiss facility, there is an ADC project which was getting operationalized. I'm just trying to understand, like, why that growth is not visible here, or the base business got down. What happened here? Keeping France aside, I understand the French part.
If you do a breakup of the entities, you know, which are comprised as part of the Carbogenomics CRAM, you know, that includes the Swiss entity, the UK entity, Shanghai entity, and the French entity for now. So France, you know, as it starts contributing substantially to the overall performance. So that is from the current financial year, we'll be classifying France as a separate entity. So one, you know, there was a decline in the revenue coming from France because of the delay in operations of this particular plant, of the new facility that we have set up. So that is number one. As far as the Swiss entity is concerned, there is already a growth in the Swiss entity. And I can take out the exact percentage as well. As far as the UK entity is concerned, again, there was a degrowth in the UK entity, and that was largely because one of the major customers for UK had decided to, I mean, that particular product, you know, it was not being manufactured then by the UK entity in the full financial year as we had estimated. However, that customer has now come back, and basis that we do expect that UK should come back to the level of revenue that it was doing earlier. So this is a broad a composition of the entity. Shanghai has been performing well, but all of the sales that Shanghai does is to the Swiss entity. So if you take out France, if you take out UK, the percentage of growth would be close to about 7 to 8%.
Okay. But I think in the previous calls we mentioned, right, that this CRAMS business can continue growing at mid, early teens to mid-teens. So I think that is the number that we should work with for FY25 and 26, right?
Yeah, so that would include all of the CRAMS businesses across all of the entities that we have. So that will also include India CRAMS. As we mentioned earlier, we do expect that the India CRAMS business should ramp up quite significantly from the numbers it had posted in FY24 and in the earlier years, now that the regulatory clearances have been received. So with that, that would be a major contributor in the growth in CRAMS. Plus, as the Swiss entity, with the kind of order book that we are sitting on, we do expect that the Swiss entity will keep on posting anywhere between 8 to 10% kind of growth as far as the revenues are concerned. And also now UK also coming back on track, we do expect that the UK entity, just in financial year 25, we do expect a 40 to 50% kind of growth because the base was lower in the last financial year. So overall, if you take a combination of all of this, and right now this CRAMS also includes the French entity. So France, from what it is doing right now, with close to about 14 million of revenue expected in FY25, and this should also grow substantially in the future, that will also be one of the contributing factors for the increase in the CRAMS revenue at a consolidated level. So yeah, 15%, 14 to 15% kind of growth in the CRAMS revenue should very much be doable.
So sir, like in the India entity, I think in the last call we had mentioned that we were expecting revenues between India as in just the NCAPA intermediate side, that is excluding Naroda, we were expecting revenues between 400 to 500 crores because the plant, there was a shortage, the customer needs the product, right? Is it fair to assume that from 215 crores we can, like FY25, you have the visibility to clock 400, 450 crores type of revenue?
I think as far as the India CRAMS is concerned, we should be closer to about 350 crores for the full financial year of 25. And we can easily move to 500 crores, but that would take about 2 years time. So FY26 is when we can expect we'll be closer to 400 crores as far as the India CRAMS is concerned, and then it could go to 450 to 500 crores in the year after.
Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot for answering my questions. Wish you all.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Satish Bhatt from Anvil Shares and Stock Brokings Private Limited. Please go ahead.
I have 2-3 questions. One is, what triggered USFDA audit for your Bawla plant? And this was for the entire unit or was some specific unit, Just question number one. And question number two is regarding the one-offs which comes as a regular basis. Sometimes it looks like it's like a normal expenditure. So it's very difficult for people to understand whether this becomes normal or part of your business. We had a new plant opening up in France where I think in the last call you had already told that things are working well. And suddenly you have a breakdown of your new plant machinery, which fails. So there is some really bad thing happening at the manufacturing end, whether at the management end. So a new plant cannot be expected, there can be a batch failure, but there cannot be a machine failure. So there is something which has seriously gone wrong. So I just wanted to know what has really gone wrong in terms of the plant at the French level, where suddenly we have started incurring, top line is a different thing, but our fixed costs are so high, I think we will not even break even at 14 million, which actually you are talking for next year, the cost structure which is there. I think your cost structure is something like 40 crores per quarter, fixed cost. So that's the 160 crore, that is not even the revenue you are targeting next year, So I just wanted to know that. And I think the problem which difficult to understand is your reported number may be 50 crores, but the adjusted number comes to 100 crores. So there is difference of as 100%. It is very difficult for market to digest the numbers, I hope you can throw some light on that.
Regarding the French entity, if I may, from an external point of view, could be seen as a big issue and. But from an internal point of view, you have to see that as a startup of a new facility in a quite complex environment, because that we are speaking about sterile filling line with a very complex mechanism, fully automated. So yes, from time to time, you have to fine tune and what you were expecting from the line are not performing as you wanted. And that's all those fine-tune work that has been taken a lot of time to resolve. It was not entirely expected, although we were using a German provider for those lines, well known with a high reputation. But still, this is the startup of a greenfield facility, so it's not something that comes out of the blue just like this, and you just press the button and everything works. It is much more complex than this, and we are prepared to suffer the situation because yes, we have order in hand that we cannot execute it. So yes, from a market perspective, it's difficult to understand, but I can tell you that from an operation perspective, it's even more difficult to bear and foresee. The good news is that now those problems are resolved, and we are looking forward to execute our orders, and we are going to match the targets that we're having now.
My other question.
Paulo, can you
For what concern of the USFDA was a general audit. The last inspection was in 2018. This was a general audit. So the auditor, as I mentioned before, came. It was not an announced audit. It was an announced audit. It was regarding all the entire site. The auditor went through all the products in running condition, and he clearly mentioned that it's a general audit. So all the site is now approved.
Okay. Even a Unit 9, the hypofacet is approved?
Unit 9 is approved because part of the site. The only unit which is excluded is the formulation plant, because normally commercial plants, they are going through a different type of approval. So the rest is approved.
Okay.
Maybe I can mention, Ashim.
Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, maybe I did not mention anything in my opening speech, but regarding our formulation plan. So you all know that we are having a fantastic soft gel plant, which is a brand new plant, but we started operation and we are developing many different products. We are developing many different formulation, and we are looking to cramp business. And we start already supplying some commercial batches also to UK. So this I didn't mention, but this is another part of our business that we are going to strengthen as much as possible in the coming years. So I did not mention this, but I think it is a very good news for the Babla site to have this formulation plan.
And Pratishpay, just to answer your question on the one-off, yes, I mean, over the last years, we, or especially last year and this year, we did have certain one-off, largely because of these issues, especially this year in France, and that actually is a one-off because, we don't expect this cost to be incurred in the future. As far as the break-even point is concerned, yes, to your point, at 14 million, we will not be breaking even. The break-even point would be close to about 18 to 19 million. And that is what we are targeting to achieve over the next year. So, especially in the year after, the revenue should be much higher than what we are expecting in the current financial year.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Sadish.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Satya, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir, your voice is audible.
Yeah, I just want two questions. One is recent clearances of our sites, Galvasite and all. So this effect substantially from when, which quarter onwards we can see? I mean, we know it's already seen from this Q4 onwards. But substantially, which quarter onwards we can see, and can you throw us some guidance on the revenue, EBITDA, and PAT levels going forward for the coming quarters, FY25?
Sorry, but just to understand, you were asking about the audit clearances that we recently received? So with that having been,
like we have got the clearance already that we know. Like, are we already in talks with any potential partners, or are we seeing any revenue visibility? That's what I'm asking.
Sure. Yeah. So with this clearances having been received, so basically it benefits the group from various aspects. One, for the existing customers, especially for the Babla site, they were unable to sell their products in certain geographies within Europe, areas within Europe, which now they are able to do so, and because of that we are expecting an increase in the orders, and we are already seeing that. We are seeing an increase in the orders from the existing customers where the commercial supplies are being supplied out of, or will be supplied out of, Babla. So that is number one. Number two, we have already seen new customers coming to visit the Babla site, and all of them have been extremely impressed with the kind of changes, the kind of practices that have been put into Babla, and we do expect that there should be new orders coming in from these customers. And thirdly, at a group level, we are also trying to collaborate internally quite closely. So what that means is that we would see certain projects traveling from the Swiss entity to the Indian entity, which will help us, one, at a group level from a revenue perspective, but more so from a margin perspective, because in India, because of the lower cost base, we are able to manufacture at a much cheaper cost than manufacturing in Switzerland. So from all of these three perspectives, the regulatory clearances do help us in scaling up the business from India. And, and that translates into the group numbers as well.
Yeah, I just want you to, as a forward guidance, can you quantify this probably, how much EBITDA and PAT levels we can expect for the coming quarters in FY25?
So FY25 on a consolidated basis, at a minimum we should be seeing a 10% kind of growth in the revenue, 10 to 12%. And at an EBITDA level, as I mentioned earlier, close to about 18 to 20% is our target.
Okay, PAT level, sir?
Sorry?
PAT level.
On a cash back basis, we should be with the cap, most of the capex program being done. We do expect that we should generate free cash flow from financial year 25, and the cash profit should be close to about 500 crores as far as the cash flow from operations is concerned, 400-500 crores.
Yeah. And where are we? What is our company? Is the debt levels going through, sir, going forward for FY25 and 26?
Yeah. So as far as the net debt is concerned, we don't expect a significant increase from here on. On the contrary, as the free cash flow keeps on getting generated, the net debt over the next 2-3 years should keep on reducing. So that is what we expect. And as I also mentioned earlier, we are working on various fronts in order to see how we can also reduce the interest costs for the group as a whole.
We don't see much increase, that's what you mean to say, going forward.
Yeah, because right now we don't have any major CapEx program. Most of the CapEx, so if you see over the last 3 years, the debt has increased largely because of the capex that we have done in France, plus co-investment project in Switzerland, plus addition of certain labs, and the capex that we had to do in Babla and Naroda, not just to address the regulatory observations, but also taking into account that Babla and Naroda are going to be one of the major factors for the growth of the group as a whole. So now that all of those things have been completed and most of the assets have been operationalized, we don't expect any major capex to be incurred. Most of it is already incurred, and that is the reason you see a substantial drop in the capital work in progress as well in financial year 2024.
Okay. Sir, one question on the French site, whatever malfunctions were there reported. So usually they won't come under any kind of an insurance coverage kind of thing, sir?
So that is exactly what, you know, we have pursued. So we are already filing a claim against the supplier, as well as we are filing a claim with the insurance company. But, you know, right now we don't have anything concrete. So that is the reason, you know, we aren't able to book anything into the P&L. But yes, I mean, if that claim comes, say, either from the supplier or from the insurance company, that would be an incremental income which would be booked.
How much, can you quantify that, sir, if it comes?
Pascal, would you know that figure exactly?
Approximately.
No, it's difficult to say right now, putting a number as straightforward would drive to certainly some further comments. So I won't go into that direction, but we are really looking to get a compensation for what we have suffered from this unexpected delay in the startups. It's very difficult to put a number because there is many, many parameters that come into account on top of that. So,
okay. Thank you. No problem. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur Agarwal from RC Wealth Solution Private Limited. Please go ahead.
So why is the employee benefit expenses too much higher compared to sales, just like 46% or 47% of the total sale, but the other pharma companies have much lesser than this?
Ankur, Ankur, if you know our business, you know, we are a CDMO company, and most of the development work for the new molecule is done out of our Swiss entity. So as far as the development work is concerned for the new chemical entities, the major cost that you have to incur is the manpower cost. So today we have about 500 scientists working for us, and all of that cost is the employee cost that you see in the consolidated P&L. If you take the Swiss P&L, the employee cost as a percentage of the revenue would be even higher, at close to about 52%. But obviously, you know, that work is important in order to make sure that we are able to develop the molecules for our customers, with some of them going into the commercial phase if those are successfully developed through all of the phases of development. So there is a direct linkage of the employee cost to the revenue that we derive from the development of new molecules. I don't know which companies you are comparing with, but if you're comparing with any of the Indian pharma companies, it would be a wrong comparison, as most of the Indian pharma companies, they are into development of generic molecules, as well as and you know, they would have entities, but a very small portion of their business. While for us, the entire business model is linked to the development of new molecules, where the early phase work as well as phase three is done out of the Swiss entity.
So our margin should be more than 40%. So why we have a very low margin if we are doing such work?
The margin, if you see, you have to basically break it up into three parts. One is the margins on the early phase development, second is the margin on phase three, and third is the margin on the commercial manufacturing. So we basically earn our highest margins, generally speaking, in phase three. As far as the early phase development work is concerned, the margins are quite low. Because obviously the probability of success of the molecule is quite low in the early phase of the development, which increases substantially as the molecule moves in phase three. The quantities required are quite higher, as well as a lot of validation work happens. As far as the commercial manufacturing is concerned, you know, there would be a slight appreciation in the selling price that we would be offering to our customers, because then the quantities increase quite a bit. The customers also expect a discount on the price. So that is how, you know, the margin should be looked at. As far as the larger scale commercial manufacturing is concerned, you know, that's where our India play comes into picture, where we are able to generate a much higher margin, you know, than we would be generating from our other locations. Because then we manufacture at a much higher scale, the cost of manufacturing is quite low, and, you know, that helps from a group EBITDA perspective too. So that is how the overall margin needs to be looked at.
But sir, if the cost of material is so low, so then we have to think about how to increase our margin, because it will not work in future if the employee cost is so much high.
Well, the work that we do out of the Swiss entity is extremely important for the survival of the whole organization, because that work basically is to develop these new molecules. And if those molecules are not developed out of the, because, you know, one of the concerns for the customers is also protection of the intellectual property rights of the molecule. And that is the reason, you know, they would want to keep the molecules in a country, you know, where the law infrastructure and the IP protection laws are extremely strong. And that was the basic purpose of acquiring the Swiss entity in 2006. So having the Swiss arm really helps us from a group perspective, where today we work on, at any point in time, on about 500 odd molecules across different phases of development, which would not have been possible if we did not have this presence in Switzerland. So the right way to look at, you know, if you're looking at the gross margins, the right way to look at the gross margins is to take into account not just the raw material cost, but also the employee cost, the scientist cost, because the revenue includes both the development revenue as well as the commercial revenue.
And just to add to that, apart from the survival of the organization, it is also important to know that it is not just that, it is also survival of the people, because most of the molecules, well, all of the molecules are of life-saving categories. So the work is important in that aspect as well.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Ankit Minocha from MRLR Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So on the France business, what is the EBITDA loss then we can kind of expect for FY25 versus, say, the 46 crore number for FY24?
So FY25, it would be close to about 4 to 5 million. So that would be close to about, say, 35 to 40 odd crores, which in the last financial year 24 stood at about 100 crores.
Sorry, this is the number that you declare in absolute. Incremental EBITDA loss is 46 crores, and the total EBITDA loss you think is 100 crores, and you think this will go down to 40 crores. Am I correct?
Yeah. So the 100 crores includes the 46 crores of incremental EBITDA loss, you know, which would not have been there if we had you know, basically done the revenue that was expected. You know, if there was no such issues as far as the delay in operations in France are concerned. So if you look at absolute numbers, we did 100 crore of loss in France in FY24, which in FY25, we expect that it should be somewhere around 35 to 40 crores.
Understood. And just a question on the reserves. So the reserve number seems to be really large. Is there something that it can be utilized for considering the current situation?
So you're talking about the equity reserve?
Yeah, the reserves in the balance sheet. Yeah.
So that is largely the securities premium, which is part of the equity. So that is, I mean, that is free to use, but as far as the cash is concerned, the cash generation for the year was close to about 400 crores from operations.
Okay.
What you see as reserves, you know, that is basically the securities premium.
Sure. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rupen Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you. When is our ADC project starting? Hello.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. The project has started. We are in the way of finalizing the validation batch at that point, which is the end of the phase three for that particular product. The good news is that our customer is having big ambitions on the market and is finding for even more application for that. So that gives us even more bigger perspective for the future. So the project is on time and the project is already ongoing.
So when can we expect around to start off this project? Is it FY25 or is it FY26? And what kind of revenue can we generate from that project on a yearly basis?
It's further than that because the different applications are spread between 26 to 31.
Mm-hmm. So when can we start the revenue, at least begin the revenue from that project? We have invested a lot in this project, right?
We are already doing revenues out of that project because we are running the as I mentioned, the validation campaign related to the phase three of the current application. And based on that, there will be further applications using that material with a ramp up of the volumes from 26 to 31 and beyond with a maturity around 30, 31. With certainly a peak demand by the mid of the 30s.
Okay, so major revenues will start from 26. That's what we can understand, right?
Yes. But this project is on time. It's just the pace of this. It's a new molecular entity ADC coming on the market with an existing application, and there is further applications that the customer has applied on different markets, and all those new applications will come one after the other, and will increase the volume demands over all those years. So it's a fairly linear growth of the volumes we are providing to that particular customer and its partners from 26 with a peak and cruise volume from 30-31.
Okay, thank you. And hope for the best from the management from the next quarter onwards. This has been a horrible journey of last 5 years with the Dishman Cargojani. I hope sincerely that management does well and from next quarter onwards, investors have something to cheer about. Thanks.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Karan Agarwal from Old Bridge Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, Arshil. Just a couple of queries. One, what are the total advances from customers as on 31st March
2024? That is just a second. I'll just give that to you. So the total is 400. So the total comes to about 634 crores.
634, is it?
Yes.
Okay. And second, on the French business, right, I mean, about 46 crores was in one-off for FY24. So realistically, about 55 crores of loss in FY24.
and you are looking at that 54 crore number coming down to about 40 crores, 35 to 40 crores in FY25. Have I got that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So, and you are looking at this breaking even somewhere in FY26 then, or maybe even beyond?
No, it should be in FY26.
It should be in 26.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kanav from Garg Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the follow-up. So there's a couple of suggestions. The first suggestion would be, and given that we have all the SAP systems and everything installed in our company, I mean, why do we always put results which are at the end of the statutory requirement or regulatory requirement? Just trying to understand, because, see, I understand the company focuses on the business, but we also have to see, you know, how the market perceives the company, right? And as of now, if you see the questions also which are getting asked, it just seems that the market has lost trust in the company. I think one of the key steps would be if we start publishing the results a bit early, that would help.
I agree with your suggestion, but you know, this was, I mean, and if you see historically last year or even the year before, I mean, we try to declare the results somewhere between the 10th to the 20th of May. I mean, this time it just went a bit longer by another 10, 15 days. So one of the things was, you know, we were hopeful that, you know, we just get the, for this covenant thing that was being discussed, we were hopeful that we just get the waiver so that we don't have to discuss that in, or you know, actually make it as a major point in the financial statements. But anyways, you know, because of the negotiations, because we want some better terms, you know, that is okay. So that was one of the reasons we tried to delay this. That was number one. And number two was just that, you know, we were just, I mean, some of the directors were preoccupied with certain things. And that is the reason that also got, I mean, contributed in the results getting delayed. But otherwise, yes, I mean, with the SAP systems that we have in India, and now that we are looking at implementing SAP globally, there is no reason, you know, why we have to delay the results beyond the 10th or 15th of May.
And just second suggestion was on the fee. I think in the conference you must have seen everyone is talking about the translation losses, right, that we incur. Just trying to understand a bit, we book our revenues in dollars, right? That's what the deal that we do with the customer. And our major cost, which is for the research facility, is in Swiss francs, right? I mean, if we hedge the numbers, I think the management has told that we are hedging the numbers. But I don't understand why there should be a translation loss on these numbers. I understand for FX it could happen. Actually, sir explained in the last call very clearly. But for employee cost, if you are saying that there's a, because of the translation, there are losses, it doesn't make sense. Because our revenues are also in dollars, which we hedge. Then again, our cost base is also in CHF. If we hedge it, then there shouldn't be realistically any loss. Right?
So,
At least. Yeah.
Yeah, so as a policy, you know, we would not be hedging like 100% of the US dollars. You know, there would be only a portion of the US dollars to the Swiss franc that would be hedged. And you know, this what we are talking about is actually not impacting us from a cash perspective. So, you know, in the scenario where the revenues are in US dollars and the costs are in Swiss franc, and we are just translating all of this into INR. So basically the US dollar gets converted at the rate of, say, 83, and it has remained anywhere between 82 to 83 over the last 12 months. The major movement, you know, that we have seen is in the Swiss franc to the INR, where the depreciation is to the tune of almost 12% to 13%. Yes, for the Swiss perspective, we would hedge a portion of the US dollar to Swiss franc, but not the entire portion. Because, you know, from a cash perspective, it really doesn't impact this translation.
Okay. And then lastly, given that May month is also over today, it's just 1 month left, just want to understand a bit of what is happening on the Q1. How do you see Q1 happening? Because I think Q4 was, it seemed like a horror, right, when the numbers got released. And in the last conference call, we were saying that if the French facility might break even in FY25 or there might be minor losses in EBITDA.
But now we are saying that, you know, we'll incur some 40-45 crores EBITDA loss in FY25. Just want to get some sense, how should we look for, let's say, Q1, Q2, how should be the ramp up? Because I just want to have a trust in the businesses. I've been tracking this business for such a long time. I want to get that trust, because I thought in the last call that everything is over because we got all the approvals, everything was done, our sites were getting operationalized, and then again something happened.
Yeah, so I think apart from the French facility, you know, where now all the technical issues are over, and it was really unfortunate because, you know, this was something that we were really not expecting would come up in the fourth quarter. So, you know, we are as surprised as what you are, because, you know, this was something which we could not predict, and it was completely unexpected for the French facility. But again, you know, we are starting a new plant, and there are certain issues to be expected, and that is exactly what struck us in Q4. But the good thing is that those issues have been resolved, and there is a huge potential for that particular business, the drug products business. There's a huge demand for that kind of services that are being offered from the French facility. And that facility becomes extremely critical for us as a forward integration of our entire business, because now, right from the development of API to supplying the finished formulation, we have the entire offering for the customer, you know, where parenterals is the delivery form. So that should really put us in a different league from any of our peers who do not have this end-to-end solution. So we are extremely gung-ho about the entire business, as well as for the French facility specifically. And, you know, we are putting in whatever efforts are required in order to make sure that we are able to generate profits, EBITDA, we become EBITDA positive as quickly as possible from the French facility. And as I had mentioned earlier, you know, there are already orders in hand, there are new orders that are expected, 90 million of RFPs which have gone out. So we don't see any kind of issues in filling up that plant. You know, it's just a matter of time, and that is what we are looking forward to in filling it up as quickly as possible. As far as our other businesses are concerned, if you see, the major bottleneck in India is now gone. So, you know, there is no reason why we cannot reach the same level as we used to do prior to the EQM observations. And that ramp up should happen, quite fast, as we get new orders from the existing customers as well as from the new customers. As far as Netherlands is concerned, I mean, we can easily increase the revenue, but then it is about the profitability. So, you know, we have identified the products, you know, which we want to sell. We have been working on the raw material cost, how to bring it down, and we have already seen the positive impact, or we would see the positive impact of it in the coming quarters. So overall, you know, nothing changes from what we had said in the last call, except for this issue that came up in France. So as now that normalizes, you know, we do expect that financial year 25 should be a much, much better year than what we had in financial year 24. If we have to break it up quarter-wise, you know, which is not ideal for our kind of business, but Q1, Q2 should be good quarters than what we have seen in Q4 FY25. But we will see the second half of the year posting a much, much higher growth than what we'll see in the first half. So that is a broad guidance of how we see the full year.
And this is including the India business, I mean, the Bawla side, because that means the Bawla side will also get ramped up, you're saying, in H2.
That's correct.
Sure. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Ankur Agarwal from RC Wealth Solution Private Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
So when we see the company in profit and PAT level?
So At a PAT level, Ankur, one of the things, if you see on the balance sheet, we have been writing off this goodwill. So, that is creating an impact of almost about 45 crores per annum. But apart from that, I think as far as the profit after tax is concerned, that should turn positive from FY 2026.
FY 2026. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Ankit Minocha from MRLR Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Hi. So the 18% EBITDA margin guidance that you're giving for next year, does it account for the losses that you imagine in the French facility for the year, or will that again be a one-off?
No, that would include that as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Harpreet, you want to take it?
Yeah, sorry. Thank you, everyone, for your questions. It was a pleasure to answer them. And as we said before, thank you for your trust and support throughout this difficult journey that we have faced. One analogy which is apt in our case is that of going through chemotherapy to get rid of the cancer. After you get rid of the cancer, the chemo will have some weakness initially, but then you will be able to run faster in the wind. So thank you for being patient once again, and thank you for all the trust. We will see you soon and wish you a good evening and a great weekend.
Thank you. On behalf of Dushman Carbogen Ansys Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all.